A universal basic income is a policy where every citizen in a country gets a certain amount of money free and clear to do whatever they want. So my plan, the Freedom Dividend, would give every American adult $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year starting at age 18. This would create millions of jobs around the country and would allow families and individuals to help manage this historic transition that we're in terms of technology transforming the labor force.
And now that's Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Yang has been one of those guys that on the interwebs, on the YouTube and social media and all these other places, running for president in 2020. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Andrew, but my sense is in watching you out in your media interviews and also your YouTube and all your presentations, it seems like what's happening here is you have a very specific issue that you want to bring to the forefront. And running for president is a good way to do it. I'm just going to leave it at that. You never know what can happen in a campaign. Sometimes things happen and you think, oh, well, that's, you know, guy's got no chance, and he does have a chance. But it seems that this is the one thing, this universal income concept. And the first time I heard it, I thought to myself, all right, this can't possibly work. How are you going to give everybody $1,000 a month, essentially, all these people $1,000 a month, and it's going to create jobs? Explain how this creates jobs.
Well, if you think about it, and if everyone listening to this had an extra $1,000 a month, how much of that money would get spent in their local businesses on tutoring services and car repairs and occasional nights out and trips to the hardware store? And all those businesses get that money and then have to, in some cases, hire more people. So this would create about 2 million new jobs minimum around the country, because we'd be increasing the size of our consumer economy by about 12%.
But where do you get that money?
Well, you have to ask yourself first, who are the big winners in today's economy? It's companies like Amazon, our trillion-dollar tech company, and they paid zero in federal taxes last year. No, when you ask where are we going to get the money, our economy is up to $20 trillion, up $5 trillion in the last 12 years. The problem is that the American people are not seeing our fair share of it. In a $20 trillion economy, we can easily afford a dividend of $1,000 a month, particularly because that money doesn't disappear. We have it. We spend it. It grows our economy. We generate $400 billion in new tax revenue. Our children get stronger and healthier. We save money on things like incarceration, homelessness services, emergency room health care. Our mental health improves. Entrepreneurship goes up. This is the trickle-up economy from people, families, and communities up. Not only can we do it, we have to do it. Because if we don't do it, 30% of malls and stores are going to close in the next 4 years. Truck driving is going to be taken over by robots in the next 5 to 10 years. Call center workers are going to get replaced by AI. We have to make this move as soon as possible.
So you look at, I think I'm starting to read your book, The War on Normal People, and you make this case about all of the jobs, and some, like you've just cited, and many that maybe people don't even recognize are sort of going away. There's this McKinsey study that's cited all the time. A third of the jobs as we know it right now will be gone in the year 2030, and you feel like, wow, that's an awful lot of people. What will happen to them? Is that a big part of this universal income play? And I guess the other question is, some people would say, well, why don't you create free job training, free education for anybody who wants to work in a new job for the future?
Yeah, I'm glad you cite the McKinsey study. And you don't have to speculate about this anymore. We got rid of 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania. It led directly to Donald Trump's election. And if you look at what happened to those 4 million workers, about half left the workforce and never worked again. And then half of that group filed for disability, and we saw surges in drug overdoses and suicides to the point where our overall national life expectancy has declined for the last 3 years as a result. So this isn't something that we're just speculating about. We're in the middle of this. We're in the third inning. And to your point about retraining, the government tried to retrain those manufacturing workers, and independent studies show that those retraining programs had a success rate of approximately 0 to 15%. Mm. The truth is, if you put up a retraining program, what is a 50-year-old former truck driver going to retrain as? And if you were a company, would you rather employ that former truck driver who likely has health problems and has higher salary demands, or a 25-year-old community college graduate who might be more current?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you get to the whole point here. We go back to the initial point, which is that technology is going to replace the worker, the human worker, in a lot of places.
There won't be the number of jobs.
Right. So whether it's you'll still need designers to build the AI and to build, you know, other pieces of the tech. And you'll have to have people thinking thoughts. But you don't necessarily have to have hands building upon those thoughts. And that, I think, is your main issue here, is the, you know, the crux of your argument, which is that's why you have to start with this idea of giving people $12,000. But doesn't that automatically, just from, you know, pure economics, and I'm talking about economics 101. I don't think you have to be an economist to wonder this question, is if you start with a base of $12,000 for every person in the United States, doesn't that begin to create an inflation cycle? Doesn't that $12,000 become rather worthless? I mean, at what point does the fact that it is not directly related to production, that the creation of wealth is not directly related to the production piece, doesn't that create fat, waste, and inflation in the system?
Well, if you look at it, we printed $4 trillion, more than that, for the Wall Street banks in the financial bailout and experienced zero inflation. And there's been very little consumer inflation for years in our economy in just about every category except for three that are making us miserable: education, healthcare, and housing. And none of those areas have experienced inflation because of our buying power. Unfortunately, it's the opposite. Like, the prices just go up even as our buying power stays the same. So putting this buying power into our hands would not cause inflation in all the consumer categories. Like, if the local burger joint in Chicago raised its prices from $6 to $10, it's not like you would accept that, because even though you're getting $1,000 a month, you're not made of money. You're still cost sensitive and there's still competition.
And but Andrew, it's so funny you mention that, because that is what's happening, is that McDonald's, for example, and you see in McDonald's, which is, you know, headquartered here in Chicago, mm-hmm. is experimenting now with increases in their menu prices, and they're seeing how far they can actually take that. And like, you know, you go through a McDonald's in Chicago now, especially the, you know, the fancy downtown ones, mm-hmm. and you're walking out with your burger, your fries, and your drink for around $10. Which was not the initial model for that. So I think you are going to start to see that in greater ways. All right. So on the other side of this, let's just assume for a second you become president in 2020. You get this whole thing worked out, and everybody's going to get the $12,000. That would be your plan. How do you get that through a legislature? How do you convince people in business to be giving this dividend? And I have an idea for you. Call it a dividend. Don't call it a tax. Because if you call it a tax, you'll never get it through. But if you ask all these American corporations that are doing very well for a dividend, you know, like a stock dividend, well, that might be a different situation.
How does that sound to you, Andrew?
Well, you're reading my mind, because it's actually called the Freedom Dividend. And it's a dividend on our incredible innovation and economic progress. I've spoken to dozens of CEOs who are actually on board with this plan. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, recently came out for a negative income tax, which is essentially guaranteeing a certain income to every American. And Jamie and other CEOs know that markets and businesses function better when people have money to spend. You know when markets don't function as well? When you're pushing millions of Americans to the sidelines because we don't have work to do. So this is good for businesses. It's not a hard sell at all. I actually have dozens of CEOs who are supporting my campaign. And for those of you who think my being president is far out, I'm already polling at 3% nationwide, and no one's ever heard of me. I'm beating sitting senators and governors.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know.
I qualified for the Democratic primary debate in June and July, and I have most all the money just coming from everyday Americans who are only giving $19 each. So my fans are even cheaper than Bernie's.
Well, I know Bernie gets a lot of attention because, you know, some people call him the guy of free stuff, the candidate for free stuff. I know that's an oversimplification, but, you know, he is trying to help people who feel like they're struggling and they need help from the government to pay bills and student loans and things like that. It seems like the people don't, you know, you're getting your message out and you're on your way to Iowa. Is that right? I see that you're...
I'm on my way back from Iowa. I'm heading to Seattle, Detroit, and Minneapolis this week.
It's interesting.
That is.
Detroit is an interesting story, too. You know, Detroit is one of those cities that died, right? It's sort of like it's kind of a White Walker. It's dead. Now it's jumping back up again, they're trying to build an industrial base there. I mean, that's the problem. What are you going to do with people? And I guess this is where the nihilism and the darkness comes in here. If people just decide, listen, I got to stay out of the workplace because there really isn't anything for me. You know, 50, 60, 70-year-old people, that's before 70, people before they're getting Social Security, they stay out. Isn't it just going to lead to all kinds of other social pathologies?
Well, unfortunately, the pathologies are here with us again, and I talked about the declining life expectancy in our entire country. I mean, think about that. Like, in a developed country, for our life expectancy to decline for 3 years in a row because of suicides and drug overdoses is unheard of. The last time that happened in this country was the Spanish flu of 1918. So it's not like putting $1,000 a month into people's hands is going to cause these pathologies. They're already here with us. The $1,000 a month will keep our communities and families stronger and healthier. We'll give people more of a path to the future. We'll improve our mental health and our stress levels and our relationships. And in the aggregate, it would give more people a chance to do the work that we actually want to do. How many Americans right now would prefer to be doing something else if their basic needs were met? This will be the greatest catalyst to entrepreneurship and work and job creation in our nation's history.
All right, Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang, it's yang2020.com for the website right now.
And I like
right?
the trending Yang Gang. Out of Iowa.
Thank
so it sounds
you, yes.
like you were getting a lot of momentum there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Good luck on the trail.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, guys. Been a pleasure.
All right. There's Andrew Yang. He's running for president.
I'm surprised he's not polling higher.
I am.
$1,000 a month?
I'm not.
For everybody?
I'll be honest. Because I think even the idea, I love the idea of free stuff. Who doesn't love free stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But at $3,000 a month, I got a feeling that's, you know.
$1,000.
Or, yeah.
Unless you have three adults in your household, then right. It would be $3,000.
But an extra $1,000 a month per person is, no one's going to go for that. Because you're going to have to get Amazon to decide they want to do that. There are, 400 million Americans yet? Somewhere around there, right? Just short, 380, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Let's call 400 by the time he's president. Because I got to do the math.
Because of the border.
Right. So 400 million, that'd be, that would.
It's 330 right now.
All right, 330. All right, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 330 million. So you need $330 billion a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's every month. You do that. That's not just January.
No, 3.6 trillion a year.
Yeah, you need that. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot of lettuce.
Cheddar. A lot of cheddar.
A lot of cheddar being passed around there.
Yep.
So I heard Kevin. I could use an extra $1,000 in my pocket a month.
Yeah, though. Kevin's for him. This could be the guy for you. He's, you know.
Take a bad hit with Nick 1 month.
Right. You see, now who really is behind this? I'll tell you who's behind it.
Casino Gamblers of America.
Yeah, right. Guys,
got my dividend. Let's go to the track. Pronto, right. Boys. Pile in the car.
Gambling apps.
Uh-huh. They're for it.
Right. The liquor companies.
Imagine
I'm
what you could
it.
Do with $1,000.
Yeah.
Imagine.
A month. And it comes back next month, too.
Sure.
I love the idea of this.
Derby's coming up.
Yeah.
Imagine what I could do with $1,000.
Omaha
Beach. He pulled a good, did he do well when they pulled the positions today?
12th post.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Ask Ro if that's
not good.
Or bad.
That's not good.
Uh-oh.
It's not terrible, but it's not good.
Well, we'll be talking
about
that.
It's better, worser.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sort of be in the middle. You want to be near the rail, but not on the rail.
Like an 8 situation?
No, you want to be a 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Those are good positions. 4, 5, 6. It's nice.
Well, anyways, I'm taking my full dividend and putting it on Omaha Beach this weekend.
Yeah.
You're great.
Take the $1,000 because it's eventually coming when Andrew Yang becomes president.
Right. So if I lose, I'll just consider
it money you already have.
I'll tell my guy, hey, Andrew Yang's got me covered. He's my backer.
We're not going to make any fun of this because Andrew Yang it strikes me as the kind of guy who doesn't like to be disagreed with and will probably have everybody killed who does.
That's true.
Because those are the kinds of governments that do that. We're going to give you the money. But you're going to shut up and do what we tell you to do. All right. Let us check in now and find out with Kim what's happening.
Ending aldermanic prerogative. That's at the top of Marilyn Lightfoot's office on day one.